Strangers, let me guess, your medicine cabinet is crammed with stuff that doesn't work. You still aren't sleeping, you still hurt, and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me, so I cleared out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. It's been a real change. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm. 80% said CBD helped with their pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change, like I did, to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code STRANGE for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code STRANGE. cbdistillery.com.
What if you could talk to loved ones who have died? What would you say? What would you hope to hear? Would it leave you feeling peaceful and satisfied that your loved ones are okay and that they were watching over you? Would you be able to move on? Or would it ignite in you a need, a desire to speak to them again, to reach the unreachable? Welcome to Strange and Unexplained with me, Daisy Egan. I'm a writer and a podcaster who has been waiting to get a message from a dead loved one for decades. My mother loved being on the phone. The photo that ran with her obituary in the New York Times wasn't one of her professional book jacket photos. It was her on the phone. If she had lived to see cell phones, she would have had one surgically attached to her face. And yet, not once since she died has she picked up the phone to call me. What gives? Sure, I hate being on the phone, but like a quick, "Hi, how are you? The men in heaven have no voice boxes." Just anything. Usually, when we think of communicating with a dead loved one, it's in the form of a dream. But for some people, the act of talking to someone who's moved on to the great whatever is a much more tangible activity. Before we start calling our dead loved ones, let's make a quick trip over to Patreon, where for just $5, you get 3 bonus episodes a month. We've got wackadoo treasure hunts that may or may not involve aliens, presidents seeing UFOs, and the world's most prolific prison break guy hoodwinking police into letting him be a cop. It's a wacky time over there. And for just an additional $2, you get all that, plus each week you get the new regular episode ad-free. That's right, no ads for you today, Bob. So hop on over to patreon.com/strangeandunexplained for bonus content and no ads. In 2010, Japanese architect Itaru Sasaki lost a beloved cousin to cancer. As part of his grieving process, Sasaki installed an old-fashioned phone booth with an old rotary phone in it on his property in Atsuchi near the northern tip of Honshu, Japan. The phone had no wires and wasn't connected to anything, but Sasaki used it to talk to his cousin. His cousin never spoke back, but for Sasaki, that wasn't the point. It was his way of keeping connected to someone on the other side. He called the phone Kaze no Denwa, or wind telephone. The concept of keeping in touch with loved ones who have died is a familiar part of Japanese culture. When a family member dies, their surviving family builds an altar in their memory with incense or candles, a bell, and maybe a Buddha figurine. And on specified days, ancestors are honored more broadly with offerings of fruit and rice. The Japanese have a festival in summer similar to the Day of the Dead, when family members come together to honor their ancestors. Dr. Lucia Dolce, Numata reader in Japanese Buddhism at SOAS, noted other important dates for a UK magazine. Quote, "Other important dates are the seventh day after the death, and the first, third, and seventh anniversaries of that date. Families will often come together on these dates to eat and commemorate that person together. It takes time for someone who died to become an ancestor, and a ritual process is required to enable them to do so, end quote. And while Itaro Sasaki's wind telephone wasn't exactly an altar to his cousin, it was a way for Sasaki to feel connected to him. About a year or so after Sasaki built his wind telephone, on March 11th, 2011, a 9.0 earthquake struck off the coast of Japan and triggered a tsunami that measured up to 30 feet high. The seaside town of Atsuchi, where Sasaki lived, was particularly hard hit. It was one of the worst natural disasters in modern history, with a death toll of upwards of 19,000 people, 1,600 of whom lived in Atsuchi. Not long after the earthquake, word started to spread about Sasaki's wind telephone, and residents of Atsuchi began showing up, walking through Sasaki's beautiful property to use the phone. Though these visitors were unannounced, they were not unwelcome. According to the website My Wind Telephone, quote, he welcomed mourners to visit his phone booth to make calls to their friends and relatives lost in the great tsunami, hoping they would find a connection to help them cope with their grief as it did him, end quote. Journalist Miki Meek reported about Sasaki and his wind telephone on a beautiful episode of This American Life. She said, quote, one pattern that the owner of the phone booth, Itaru, has noticed over the years is that more men than women come to use it. Not surprisingly, this is not a demographic that's known for sharing their feelings, especially the older farmers. They already have a reputation for not talking much. For other men, the phone booth is a place where they can finally say their complicated feelings out loud. One of the things that makes these calls so poignant to me is all the understated ways that people are actually saying, I love you and I miss you. I'd never say something so direct like that in Japanese. It's just not done, end quote. Sasaki installed a mic in the booth for members of the press that wanted to cover the story. I'm assuming with the caller's consent, though I'm not entirely sure. The recordings are a glimpse into some of the most private moments a person can have, especially for a culture that frowns upon effusive displays of emotion. Having the chance to listen to these people pour their hearts out to a beloved spouse, child, or grandparent feels incredibly intimate. A piece in Reuters quoted one man's call to his wife. He told her he spent days searching for her in the rubble. He visited refuge centers and morgues, but he couldn't find her. Quote, it all happened in an instant, and I can't forget it even now. I sent you a message telling you where I was, but you didn't check it. When I came back to the house and looked up at the sky, there were thousands of stars. It was like looking at a jewel box. I cried and cried and knew that so many people must have died. I'll take care of myself. I'm so glad we met. Thank you. We're all doing what we can. Talk soon. End quote. Another woman used the phone several times to call her husband of 44 years, whom she'd lost in the tsunami. The day Reuters was there, the woman told her husband she was lonely and that she'd keep looking after the family. After she hung up, she told reporter Mari Sato that calling her husband on the wind telephone made her feel better. Through the wind phone, children who have no memory of their dead grandparents will nonetheless tell their grandparents about school and what kinds of things they're interested in, the kinds of things they would tell a living grandparent. One thing I think is so moving about these calls is how much it sounds as though the callers are actually talking to someone at the other end of the line. They don't feel like some kind of formal ceremony. They don't sound like eulogies or prayers. It's like they're talking to someone who's just far away, someone they miss, but who they know they'll see again. I guess that is what is so beautiful and seductive about believing in an afterlife. Itaro Sasaki guessed that by 2021, around 35,000 people had visited his telephone from all over the world. One woman, who moved more than 50 miles away after losing her husband and her home in the tsunami, would find herself driving back to Atsuchi to use Sasaki's phone to call her husband. As Miki Meek on This American Life described it, the woman dials the number of her old house in Atsuchi and then just stands there in silence. quote, "Sometimes she fidgets around and tilts her head up and concentrates on the ceiling, the same way I do when I want to cry, but I'm trying hard not to. It doesn't work." Kiku brushes some tears off her face. Eventually, she hangs up. She lingers in the booth a little longer, hands clasped together in front of her, staring at the phone booth floor. She walks out. End quote. Meek says that it's not uncommon for people to remain silent on the wind telephone. I suppose if we really can communicate with the dead, we don't need to speak out loud. And of course, a lot of people feel the need to accompany their communications or prayers with some kind of physical ritual, whether it's lighting candles or incense or kneeling or whatever. So it makes sense that some people might use the phone as a tangible act in the process of reaching out to someone out there. Sasaki's telephone booth, which was originally designed to be installed indoors, had to be repaired a few times over the years until 2015, when he replaced it all together with an aluminum version that could withstand the elements of a seaside hill. To pay for the replacement, Sasaki raised money on his website. People from all over the world donated a total of 1 million yen, or around $8,300 US back in 2015 money. The whole concept behind the wind telephone is pretty magical, so it's not hard to understand that despite there being almost no signage leading people to it, so many people managed to find it. Sasaki told Laura May Messina of LitHub in 2021,
"Some follow the path all the way to the wind phone, then turn around and leave again. People are free to do as they like, and we often don't even realize they have been here. Others are in tears, of course, and we invite them in. Many people feel they need to tell their story. It is a place where people can start to regain an awareness of reality. It's a sort of bridge that connects the world of the living to the world of the dead. Just getting here is an exercise in mindfulness. It is intentional that there are no signs, no maps, no guides telling you how to get here. It's in the very act of wandering, losing yourself in the landscape, uncertain of where you are and when you'll arrive, that people end up thinking about many things, reformulating their memories of the person they have lost. And it's in this mood, a sort of meditation, that they encounter the wind phone. They get here in a fuller and more aware state. They are ready."
Sometimes, stranger, I really love human beings.
Strangers, sometimes you shouldn't trust your gut. Like when you opt not to use the bathroom before you leave and then your subway gets stuck for half an hour in a tunnel and you're pretty sure you're about to pee out of your eyes. Or when your gut tells you to send that guy who ghosted you one of those nonsense texts so that he goes, "Huh?" And then you can be like, "Oops, bot dial. But now that we're here, how's things going?" But there's one thing you can definitely trust your gut on, and that's when it's telling you it needs a little support. And with their 3-in-1 pre, pro, and postbiotic, Rituals got your back, or rather, your gut. The clinically studied biotics in Rituals Minty Pill help support occasional gas and bloating and diarrhea. You can take it anytime, day or night, and because it doesn't need to be refrigerated, you can keep it anywhere. On your bathroom counter, in your purse, on your bedside table. I keep mine on my desk, so I always remember to take it. And the female-founded B Corp folks over at Ritual prioritize sustainable ingredients and have set ambitious climate goals. Plus, now Ritual has a line of multivitamins that are vegan, non-GMO, and traceable, so you can support your system from head to toe. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/strange. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/strange for 25% off. In 2020, an American named Laura McCullough found an article about Itaro Sasaki's wind telephone and called the president of her local garden club in Safety Harbor, Florida, and proposed they install one of their own in a local park.
It only took a few months and a little community volunteer effort, and Folly Farm Park had its very own wind telephone. McCullough was the first to use it when it was completed in 2021. She called her son Devin, who had died of a brain embolism in 2015. She told the Miami Tribune,
"Having a physical place to go, to talk to him out loud, to get it out of my head was cathartic beyond anything I had imagined. Being able to be there, just me and him."
Devin never responds on the phone, but she said,
"But I always get an answer. He always finds a way."
Since then, wind phones have been popping up all over the United States. Like little free libraries, anyone can install a wind phone as long as they have permission from whomever owns the property. Reverend Deborah Rundlett from the Ridgebury Congregational Church in Fairfield, Connecticut, told WBUR in October of 2023 that their wind phone, quote, is a means by which to have the conversations you didn't get to have, the good, the bad, the ugly, and know that the wind will carry them to the source that needs to receive them, end quote. In February of 2023, Allison Young, a cancer research nurse at Vanderbilt University, introduced Nashville to wind phones. Young's grandmother had died quite suddenly in 2016, and Young felt like she had so much more to tell her. She told the local paper, The Hill, that a friend of hers who'd lost a friend suddenly to a heart attack had just used the phone for the first time.
"She actually said she's going to keep coming back. She wants to update him on things that are happening in her life, and she would normally pick up the phone and talk to him, but he's not around anymore."
There's an interactive map on the website mywindtelephone.com that shows you where the wind phones in the U.S. are. The map relies on self-reporting, so as a reminder on the website, points out it may not be up to date. But I found one on the map that's not far from me. Unfortunately, and somewhat ironically, I suppose, every time I went to use the wind phone near me, it was so windy that I couldn't get good audio. But basically, I called my mom and I was like, "I have a list of people that could use a good haunting." And I started listing them off. Jordan Peterson, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, the entire U.S. Senate, the Supreme Court, the Kardashians. And then my son called out from the car, "I'm hungry, I want Wendy's." So I had to leave it there, but I'll be back to finish that list as soon as I have a full day to myself. There are some people, though, who say they've communicated with their dead loved ones without the aid of a telephone. After-death communications, or ADCs, are considered to be communications from people who have passed to someone who wasn't necessarily looking to receive any communication from someone who passed. You know, as in Ebenezer Scrooge, "It is I, Jacob Marley," or perhaps a more contemporary reference. According to the Omega Journal, quote, ADCs can occur in a multitude of forms and situations, as well as in a waking or sleeping state. ADCs are reported as occurring in different forms and levels of intensity, with a variety of associated sensations, including vision, taste, hearing, smell, and feeling both physical presence, such as a touch or pressure, as well as a sense of the presence of the deceased. ADCs occur across cultures, race, age, socioeconomic status, educational level, gender, and religious beliefs, end quote. According to the website afterdeath.com, ahem, some 25% of Europeans have experienced an ADC. The same goes for about 20 to 40% of Americans. That's a lot of people. The website says that, quote, other surveys of persons, as opposed to what, goats, report that between 50% and 60% of respondents have had one or several ADCs. Furthermore, they claim, quote, additionally, experts in the field of grief, bereavement, counseling, and palliative care support the idea that ADCs are common natural experiences that most individuals find comforting, encouraging, and sometimes even life-saving, end quote. And I want to point out that support the idea is pretty fuzzy terminology. In fact, it really doesn't mean anything. Maybe they need a better writer? Anyway. Even the Vatican, which everyone knows is always at the very cutting edge of culture, has gone on the record in favor of ADCs. The Reverend Gino Concetti, chief theological commentator for the Vatican newspaper L'Osservatore Romano, told the London Observer Service in 1999,
"Communication is possible between those who live on this earth and those who live in a state of eternal repose, in heaven or purgatory. It may even be that God lets our loved ones send us messages to guide us at certain moments in our life."
He reminds readers that on his deathbed,
"Saint Dominic told his brothers, 'Do not weep, for I shall be more useful to you after my death, and I shall help you then more effectively than during my life.'"
Okay, Gino. A lot of the information on afterdeath.com comes from the writings of Bill and Judy Guggenheim, whose 1997 book, Hello from Heaven, A New Field of Research, After-Death Communication Confirms That Life and Love Are Eternal, is a culmination of a study they conducted of people who claim to have had ADCs. It's worth noting that a book quoting studies isn't the same thing as a peer-reviewed article or paper quoting studies. My mother wrote a book about being a new mother, and goddess love her, I'm pretty sure she selected quotes from her, quote, study that supported her own opinion that being a new mother was a pretty hellish experience. Incidentally, I finally read that book when I was pregnant and couldn't finish it because so much of it was about how fucking awful it was to have a baby. And for me, that ship had sailed, and I did not need any more reasons to be terrified. I'm pretty sure my mother's research wouldn't have held up to the scrutiny of a peer review. My point is, just because someone has written a book in which they publish the findings of their study doesn't mean anything in the book is worth the paper it's printed on. Plus, anything that relies wholly on self-reporting can't exactly be verified. For example, a Republican can tell you they think gay sex is disgusting and sinful, and all you can do is take their word for it. On the other hand, you can hook their penises up to machines that measure blood flow and show them pictures of gay sex and learn that they get aroused at a rate that would suggest methinks the lady doth protest too much. You get what I mean? That's a real study, by the way. All I'm saying is until they find a machine that measures or records ADCs, none of this is provable. Which is not to say that you, dear stranger, haven't had an ADC. If you have, I'm not denying it. I'm just saying we can't prove it scientifically. As of yet, anyway. The description from Hello from Heaven on the Afterdeath website says that as a result of their study, quote, "Afterdeath communications appear to be the most common form of spiritual experiences that people have. According to our research, the purpose of these visits, contacts, and signs by those who have left their physical body is to offer comfort, reassurance, and hope to their parents, spouse, siblings, children, grandchildren, and other family members and friends. They want you to know they're still alive and that you'll be reunited with them when it's your turn to leave your lifetime on Earth," end quote. The most frequent messages expressed verbally or non-verbally include, quote, "I'm okay. I'm fine. Everything is okay. Don't worry about me. Don't grieve for me. I'm happy. Everything will be all right. Go on with your life. Thank you for taking care of me. I'll always be there for you. I'm watching over you. Please let me go on with my new life. I'll see you again. I love you. Goodbye," end quote. I'm no psychologist, but I'm willing to bet that a good portion of those are from the person's own subconscious and are part of their grieving process. I have a friend who was driving herself insane trying to become an oncologist after her mother died of cancer, and one night her dead mother came to her and told her to chill out and let it go. So she dropped out of school and became a journalist and won a Pulitzer. I'm just saying, I think when some people are stuck in a phase of grief or are feeling guilty or scared about a loved one's death, their own brains conjure up something that seems like an ADC as a way to help them move on. And don't get me wrong, when it comes to healing, I am all for this. In the words of Olita Adams,
"I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can."
According to the Guggenheims, some people experience ADCs as phantom phone calls. Quote, An awake telephone ADC has some interesting characteristics. Your phone actually rings. When you pick it up and say hello, you hear a deceased loved one on the line. His or her voice may sound strong and clear, or it may seem to be coming from far away. After the call is completed, you won't hear the receiver at the other end being hung up. For that matter, there won't be any kind of disconnect sound or even a dial tone. Instead, the phone will be silent, as though the line had been cut. End quote. A piece from the 1998 Sun Sentinel reported this. Quote, the woman who called Jared Zelenka's house early Sunday was crying, and her voice was faint. I'm at the bottom of a dark hole, the woman said. Then the line went to static. Zelenka hit star 69, a code used to automatically trace the call, but the number could not be pinpointed. End quote. A few hours later, when two friends failed to come home from an ATV ride during a bad rainstorm, police and friends went out looking for them. Zelenka and a friend found the bodies of their dead friends around 6 a.m. on the bank of a drainage canal. Zelenka was convinced the phone call had been from his friend. The thing is, though, neither of the people out on their ATVs in the storm that night had cell phones on them. However, I believe most of the reported ADC telephone calls happen in dreams. A nurse from Iowa told the Guggenheims this.
My husband and I were having many problems, and I was very distraught. I had gone through a lot of mental abuse and wanted to get out of the marriage, but I couldn't do it yet. I had been putting this decision off for about 3 or 4 years. When my father died, I felt like the only important man in my life was gone. My husband didn't even give me a hug to say that he was sorry my dad died. There was no emotional support, and I was in a really depressed state. In a dream, shortly before I woke up in the morning, I got a telephone call. When I held the phone up to my ear, my dad was on the line. It was definitely his voice. He told me, "Don't worry. I will be with you as long as you need me. Whatever you decide, I'm here for you." I needed to know that my dad did love me and was going to stand by me no matter what. This was an affirmation that I didn't get from him when he was alive. The next morning, I felt the most wonderful peace, more peace than I had felt in years and years. The turmoil wasn't there anymore. It was a turning point, and suddenly I knew I could do what I had to do. About 5 months later, I finally got things going and filed for divorce. I don't think I would have been able to do it then if I hadn't been for that telephone call from my dad.
Or, you know, from that part of your brain that was like, girl, get the fuck out of there. Another woman, a hypnotherapist by trade, also dreamt she got a call from a dead parent. Her mother died very suddenly in a horrible accident that made seeing her body impossible. So she was having trouble accepting the finality of her mother's death, until about 4 months later when she dreamt her mother called her. She said she couldn't remember most of the conversation, but she said she was crying hysterically and her mother told her, quote, Carol, I am on the other side. I am no longer on the earth plane. I'm not coming back. When I woke up, my pillow was soaking wet. My face was wet and my nightgown was wet. I felt emotionally drained, but I was finally at peace. This phone call pushed me over the hump. I finally moved out of denial and could go on with my grieving for my mother, end quote. Another woman who had lost her son was struggling with guilt about not having been able to save him, until she also got a call in her dreams.
I said, Trey, is that you? Where are you? He said, I just called to say I'm okay and I love you. He spoke slower and more peacefully than usual, but it was definitely his voice. He was calm, like he didn't want to worry me. It all seemed very real. Then the phone went dead. Trey had to tell me he was all right because he knew how I worried about him. This dream also convinced me it was okay that I hadn't said goodbye.
Indeed, a lot of ADCs seem to happen while people are asleep and dreaming, which, you know, should be your first clue. One woman told the Guggenheims she was sleeping in her dorm room one night when her dead grandfather interrupted her dream to tell her to lock her windows. She said she could smell his cologne and tobacco. She woke up suddenly and locked the window in her room. Quote, about a half an hour later, there was a scream from the girl in the room down the hall. A man had come up the fire escape and apparently had tried my windows, and then he had gone on to hers. Later, he was caught. End quote. Another woman said her mother came to her in a dream silently but urgently indicating that she needed to go check on her infant daughter in her crib. The woman woke up and ran to her daughter's room and found her choking on the tip of a rubber nipple she'd chewed off. She believes if her mother hadn't warned her, she wouldn't have gotten to her daughter in time. In 1993, the Cincinnati Inquirer reported that a woman had won $3.1 million cash in the lottery based on numbers a dead friend had told her to play in a dream. Again, Mom, I'm here if you have any winning lottery numbers or hot stock tips you want to give me. Operators are standing by for your call. But these supposed ADCs aren't always in dreams. In 2008, Jamie Hughes and his wife woke up in the middle of the night realizing their house was on fire. Hughes got his wife to safety and then went to get his 4-year-old son, Billy. The house was an inferno by that point. He was starting to choke on the smoke and one of his hands was already badly burned. Hughes recounted the experience to a local news channel.
I looked at my hand for a split second and forgot about it. That quick. Because I had one mission in mind, and that was finding my son. I could hear everything. I could hear the house burning. I could hear the house creaking. And then I hear this little voice. I hear this little voice say, "Get out. Daddy, get out." And I about went to my knees.
Hughes tried to break a window with his good hand, but it didn't break, and once again he heard his son tell him to get out. So he said he gathered his strength and broke the window. On his way out, Hughes looked back, and on the stairs inside the burning house, he saw his son Billy standing beside his own father who had passed a few years prior.
Strangers, I'm staying at a hotel right now, and you know what that means? No Miracle Made sheets for me, and just hours and hours of sweating. Thank goodness for towels, I guess. Nothing makes me miss my Miracle Made sheets more than any other brand of sheet. With their silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA technology, my Miracle Made sheets keep my temperature regulated and help prevent 99% of bacteria growth, which not only means clearer skin and fewer colds, but less laundry. Who doesn't love less laundry? Aside from laundromat owners. Seriously, if Miracle Made starts making clothing, they'll put the laundromat industry out of business. You'd think silver-infused fabric wouldn't be very comfortable, but you'd be wrong. Miracle Made sheets feel silky and luxurious and don't come with the price tag other luxury brands come with. So you can sleep in style and comfort without draining the cash you're hiding under your mattress. Go to trymiracle.com/strange to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo strange at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/strange and use code STRANGE to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/strange to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Strangers, for years, I have said that I would rather give up bread than potatoes. But thanks to Wild Grain, I'm eating my words. Sure, maybe I'd rather give up grocery store bread, but the bread from Wild Grain would be much harder to give up. Obviously, they have delicious plain sourdough loaves, good for sandwiches, dunking in your soup, or spreading with jam. But they also have unbelievable rosemary garlic loaves, slow-fermented brioche buns, English muffins, Bavarian pretzel buns, and that's not even counting the artisan pastries and fresh hand-cut pastas. And, of course, free croissants for life! We're having my parents over soon for a few days, and watch us serve delicious rosemary garlic bread with some homemade garlic tomato confit, fettuccine with my son's famous clam sauce, giant chocolate chip cookies for dessert, and then, for breakfast, serving blueberry biscuits and Parmesan herb biscuits. Finally, my parents will be proud of me, and it's all thanks to Wild Grain, but they don't need to know that. Everything bakes in 25 minutes or less, so you can pop those croissants into the oven as everyone is waking up. Sprinkle some flour on your shirt and be like, I made croissants, just as the oven dings. For every box Wild Grain sells, they give 4 to the Boston Food Bank. Plus, you can customize your box, pause, skip, or cancel anytime. For a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box, when you go to wildgrain.com/strange to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box, and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/strange. That's wildgrain.com/strange, or you can use promo code STRANGE at checkout.
Experts who are disinclined to believe in ghosts generally agree that ADCs are just the mind playing tricks. A peer-reviewed paper titled Perceptual Phenomena Associated with Spontaneous Experiences of After-Death Communications, Analysis of Visual, Tactile, Auditory, and Olfactory Sensations from 2022 explains, quote, a hypothesis based on a materialist or reductionist point of view suggests that ADCs are just thoughts, mental constructs, reflecting either normal imaginal processes or aberrant thoughts such as aberrant hallucinations caused by grief or mental unbalance, and that any attributions of ADC sensory phenomenology as sensory stimuli encountered in the external physical world represents failures of reality monitoring. Though this is a prevalent interpretation of ADCs among scientists, research suggests that percipients of ADCs strongly disagree with this view, end quote. However, an article from Psychology Today from 2022 by Steve Taylor points to some evidence that ADCs are a real phenomenon. Specifically, in examples when, quote, a person sensed or saw, often in a dream, the death of a person and found out shortly afterward that they had died, end quote. Another example of possible evidence of ADCs is when someone receives a communication about an event or circumstance they don't know about. Taylor reported an instance of this where one grandmother had a vivid dream in which the deceased other grandmother of her grandchildren told her one of their grandchildren was experiencing domestic violence. Quote, after some trepidation, she spoke to her granddaughter. She admitted that her boyfriend had made death threats to her and she split up with him shortly afterward, end quote. And lastly, sometimes people report experiencing the same ADC, like a young couple who claimed to have both had a vision of one of their dead grandparents, though, again, we have to take these people at their word. Unless they got a picture, which seems unlikely. If we've learned anything from Beetlejuice, it's that ghosts don't show up in pictures. And perhaps at some point they'll figure out how to monitor the brainwaves of someone having an ADC to see if it really is an external communication or if the call, as they say, is coming from inside the house. At the end of the day, though, it doesn't really matter. Many cultures regularly move to communicate with their dead loved ones as a way to help them move safely on to the next phase, or resolve some kind of outstanding trauma. There are some cultures and some individuals that believe they receive communication back, again, usually to help them safely move on to the next phase or resolve trauma. Whether that's a dead abusive parent coming back to apologize, or a dead fiancé coming back to assure their beloved that they're not in any pain and to please move on and be happy, or a dead child coming back to tell their grieving parents that they are safe and they'll see them again someday. In the end, What difference does it really make where the communication is coming from? It's giving what is known as closure, stranger, and that is the key ingredient for many to move on. Maybe if all matter is energy that cannot be created or destroyed, but merely transmuted, then those who moved on are still with us, residing in our neural pathways in some way, part of the environment in which we continue to conduct our own lives, watching and waiting for their chance to tell us something they didn't get to say before they departed the corporeal plane, or to deliver a message or a warning, or just to tell us it's all going to be okay. Whatever may happen, it's all going to be okay.
Next time on Strange and Unexplained, how far would you go to escape a seemingly inescapable situation? The women of Nagira of Hungary learned just how far they would go with the help of one very enterprising woman, the Angel Makers of Nagira. If you want even more Strange and Unexplained, head on over to our Patreon, where you get 3 bonus episodes a month for just $5. And for $7, you get all that, plus all the regular episodes ad-free. Patreon.com/Strange and Unexplained. Strange and Unexplained is a production of the Obsessed Network. This episode was written by me, Daisy Egan, and produced by Natalie Grillo and Angela Palladino. Research by Jess McKillop. Editing by Eve Kerrigan. Sound engineering and mixing by Jennifer Swatek. Our voice actors for this episode were Andrea Jones-Sojola, Ryan Garcia, and Jordan Kai Burnett. We have a lot of fascinating and bizarre stories to share with you, but we want to hear your episode suggestions as well. If you have an idea for a topic we should cover, go to our website, strangeandunexplainedpod.com, and fill out the contact form. If you like our show, please help us out by rating and reviewing us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. A 5-star review and a quick sentence really does help the show out a lot. If you don't like the show, you can leave a terrible review. The name of the podcast is Hotep's Been Told You.